evangelism, being proactive in inserting Jesus into every part and every area of your life. Now, maybe you feel like I did as a high school student. When I was a high school student, people would say, share your faith. To which I would reply, well, that's a noble thought. Cool. Share your faith, they would say, to which I would reply, okay, yes, I have heard that many times before. I was taught the gospel message. I was taught the G-O-S-P-E-L. I went to Dare to Share lots of times. But I struggled to figure out, how am I supposed to share my faith and how am I supposed to insert that naturally into conversation? How am I actually supposed to do that? Be bold and be courageous, they would say. So I'd be in a group of people and I would think, should I share the gospel message right now? Like, would that be bold for me to just like drop Jesus, like just drop the Jesus bomb and drop the mic and walk away? Is that being bold? Is that what I'm supposed to do? I'd be in a grocery store and I'd see the microphone that's supposed to go through the whole store. And I'd think, okay, should I like go press that and just start like talking about God until they kick me off? I mean, is that boldness? Is that what I'm supposed to do? I'd be downtown and I'd see those guys with the sign that says Jesus saves standing there. And I would think to myself, is that what I'm supposed to be? Is that what sharing my faith is supposed to look like? I mean, is that what really being sold out and being bold and courageous, is that what it's about? Is that what it looks like? When I was in high school, I lived with this tension. And it's not, and it didn't just last in high school. It's a tension that I still live with today. It's still something that I wrestle with and I struggle with. And here's the tension that I have, and maybe you have it too. The tension is this. On the one hand, I know in my mind that God has called me to share my faith and to be an example and to be a witness wherever I go. I know that. I know that Jesus is the only way that a person receives forgiveness from sins, that they receive eternal life. I know that. I know that without Jesus, people will live apart from Jesus. I know those things on the one hand. But on the other hand, that I have this aversion to sharing my faith with other people. Maybe it's because I feel like if I bring it up, it will be just completely random. And people will think that's just weird and awkward. Maybe there's fear that if I get asked a question that I can't really answer, or I get a really hard question, that I won't be able to answer it, and then I'll look stupid, and I'll even cause myself to doubt, and so I would just rather not even deal with it. Maybe it's because I have this fear and aversion that if I share my faith, it'll come off as like a turnoff. You know, we've all experienced somebody maybe who was overzealous, or maybe, I don't know, rough around the edges when they were sharing their faith, and we don't want to come off like that at all. Maybe sharing my faith becomes difficult for me because I realize that when I start to think about what I believe, I don't even know if I really believe that myself. So how am I supposed to share that? And maybe it's because I simply have no idea what I would say. If somebody were to ask me, what does it mean to be a Christian? I would, whoa, I've never thought about that. I really don't know. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you think those exact same things. And I think many students, I think many Christian students live with that tension in their hearts. I know that I want to do this. Like, I know, like, I want my friends to know Jesus. Like, I want them to go to heaven. But how do I do this without being totally weird and awkward? Like, how do I, oh, it's just this tension. This is something I've wrestled with my whole life. I wrestle with it even now. The thought of a gospel conversation with somebody, seriously, it makes me nervous. It still makes me nervous. I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to make a fool of myself. Sometimes I don't know who I'm supposed to share with. Am I supposed to just go around and every single person I encounter throughout a day, do I need to tell them about Jesus, or I'm not living right, or I'm being sinful? Or am I also supposed to share Jesus with people I know or I have a relationship with? Like, God, what am I supposed to do with this? Maybe I'm the only one who feels that way. Maybe I'm the only one. But I think that if we're honest, many of you feel that exact same tension. You feel that exact same way. And so I want to talk to you tonight. I titled the title of my message tonight is this: Nervous but Willing. Nervous but Willing. And I want to be honest with you about this. God has been working on this particular subject in my heart for about the past year. And it's only been a year. So I've been the youth pastor here for about little over two years. So that means that in the time that, and I've been on staff at the church here for almost 9 years. So that means that, and I'm 30 years old, by the way. So that means that from the time I became a Christian all the way up to my 30s, God hasn't really started to work on this, and he's really only addressed it with me within the past year, that this is something that's not been prevalent in my life. In fact, it's been something that I've actually tried to like push to the back burner and kind of like get away from. Some of you know I'm taking some college classes, and I took a class literally a year ago in the summer, and it was on evangelism. And I thought, oh, evangelism, I've heard of that before. I've done a lot of stuff with that. Something about this class, I'm telling you guys, God grabbed a hold of my heart in a whole new way when it came to this idea of sharing my faith. And it really convicted me. It really challenged me. So my goal tonight is this. My goal is not to remove the fear when it comes to sharing your faith. I'm not going to give you some magic thing that's going to remove the nervousness. I think that that nervousness and that fear, I think that's something that most of us will always wrestle with. I don't think that's a bad thing. It's nerve-wracking when you're about to share something with somebody that you don't know if they're going to receive or not. It's nerve-wracking when you go into a situation not knowing exactly what you're going to say. We're going to be nervous about sharing our faith. We're going to be fearful about sharing my faith. I am, you will be too. I'm not trying to remove that, but here's what I am wanting to do tonight. I want to call you to be willing to be used of God in the situations you find yourself in every single day. I want to challenge you to raise your hand in your heart and say, God, even though I'm nervous, even though I might be scared, I'm willing. I'm willing. And the second thing I want to do tonight is I want to share with you just some practical ways for you to share your faith. I came to this realization very, very recently that it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a long time. If somebody were to ask you, hey, what does it mean to be a Christian? Or what do you believe? Sometimes you think you know it, and then you're put on the spot, and you think, oh gosh, what do I know? I personal example, a couple months ago, probably like 6 months ago, I have a friend. You've heard me talk about it before. His name's Robbie. He's my guy that I'm praying for, trying to find opportunities to share my faith with him. I was sitting at coffee with him, and he was interested in learning about Christianity. He was interested in you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? I'm interested in this. I'm interested about the Bible. I'm a pastor, you guys. This stuff is supposed to flow totally naturally. I'm supposed to be like suave and teaching you how to do it. I sat at this coffee table, and I found myself like struggling to explain to him the gospel message of Jesus. I was like struggling, and I finally like kind of got it out, and it, to me, like, it didn't make sense. And I had to like go away from that moment and say, God, oh my goodness, I've been a Christian my whole life. I went to a private Christian school. Like, I'm a pastor at a church. Like, this stuff is supposed to be my life. And I can't even do this well. Like, God, you've got to help me, man. Like this has got to become something that I improve with. So through my failures, through my weakness in this, my hope is to help you through it as well, all right? So that's what we're going to take time to do tonight. Is my microphone feeding back? Okay, can we fix that, please, if that's all right? Or I can switch microphones if we need. Is it better if I switch microphones? Check, 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 check. It's okay. Oh, there we go. Is that better? Okay. Still ringing?
It's still ringing.
All right, well, they'll fix it. They know what they're doing. Question for you. Are you willing? Are you willing? Let me pray for us really quick. God, we know that you're in this place tonight. You've met us in worship. We're so excited about that, God. And I just pray right now that as I speak, you would move on hearts. Holy Spirit, would you do something incredible in these students' hearts tonight, that they would be challenged in a whole new way, God, that you'd open their hearts to receive this, whether this is the first time they've heard it or the 100th. Let it be brand new. Let this message not lose its wonder, God, in Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want to start off with tonight is this. I want to get us all on the same plane when it comes to this idea of sharing your faith. When I say share your faith, everybody in this room will have a different idea of what that means. So when I say share your faith, here's what the definition that I'm going to be using tonight is this. Sharing your faith is this. It's using words and conversation to explain the basic truth of man's sin and separation from God and the need for faith in Jesus for forgiveness of sins, a relationship with God, and eternal life. That's what sharing your faith is. And when I'm talking about that tonight, that's kind of the basis, that's the foundation that I'm coming from. Sharing your faith can happen in many different ways. There can be a lot of things that lead up to it. There can be a lot of things that lead away from it. The situations are going to change. There's no cookie cutter boxed way to do this thing. There's just not. And that's sometimes the problem that we have, I think, when it comes to sharing our faith, is that we think that it's a cookie cutter box thing that we just insert into every moment in our lives. And the problem is that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That's when it becomes forced. That's when it becomes something that, man, just isn't natural and awkward and doesn't have the impact that it's supposed to have. I have three observations about sharing our faith that I want to share with you tonight, and they're going to come up on the screen, and we're going to look at some scripture verses that sort of enhance these. The first one is this: sharing your faith is not about succeeding or failing. It's about obedience and opportunity. Everybody say obedience. And everybody say opportunity. Say obedience. Obedience. Say opportunity. Opportunity. Very good. I love that. Hey, just a side note, if you have your phone out and you're using it as a distraction, either for yourself or others, oh God, may God have mercy on you, okay? May God have mercy on your soul. And go ahead and just tuck that away, because there's going to be so much time to Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram at the after party. Now is not a good time, and I can see you. I can see you doing it. And not only is it distracting to me, it distracts your fellow students. Thank you for letting me say this. Good night. Okay. Sharing your faith is not about succeeding or failing. It's about what? Obedience and? Very nice job. Sharing your faith is not about succeeding or failing. I want you to get that in your head. Sharing your faith is not about succeeding or failing. Would we like to succeed in this? Of course we would like to succeed in this. Do we want to fail in this? Of course we don't want to fail in this. But sharing your faith, it's not about that. Sharing your faith is about obedience. Sharing your faith is about opportunity. It's obedience because Jesus has commissioned us. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus has commissioned you to make his name known in every area of your life. In every place that you find yourself, Jesus should be made known. In your place of work, those of you, who has a summer job here? Who has a summer job? Great job. At your place of work, Jesus, because of you, should somehow be made known. How many of you go to school? Anybody go to school here? Good job. Okay. Anybody go to school outside of their house? Anybody? Anybody out there? Anybody? Okay. Your school, I don't care whether it is, public school, private school, wherever you walk in your school, Jesus should be made known because of your life. Who's in homeschool? Anybody homeschooled here? Dang, man. These homeschoolers, man, they are overtaken. They're taking over this place. Okay, homeschoolers, you school at home, yes, but do you go out in society? Do you find yourself outside of your home? Anybody? Okay, hopefully you get out. Everywhere you go, whether it's the grocery store, whether it's a co-op, whether it's Starbucks, whether it's I don't know what, everywhere you go, Jesus should be inserted into that moment because of who you are, because you carry Christ with you. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, it's the Great Commission verse. We've all read this before, right? Go therefore, this is Jesus' call to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. We're all commissioned. So sharing our faith is about obedience, but it's also about opportunity. And here's what that means. It's an opportunity because every time you share your faith, every time you insert Jesus into a moment, every time Jesus' name is exalted or brought up or shared or talked about, it's another opportunity for a person to hear, to understand, or to accept him for the first time. Believe it or not, you guys, there are students in this city, in Arvada, who don't know or understand who Jesus is. And so when you bring him up, and you bring him up in a way that brings honor to him, believe it or not, you're sharing that to students who may not have ever heard that before. You're sharing it to students who maybe have heard of Jesus but don't quite understand it yet, and the words that you speak might be the very thing they need to hear, whoa, to understand it. And it may be your very words that cause them to, wow, invite Jesus into their heart, invite him into their life for the very first time. It's about obedience. It's about obedience and what? Opportunity. So some of you might not know this. I drive Uber and Lyft on the side. What up, Uber? Yeah, it's all good. And I'm hipsta. Yeah. So Uber, in case you don't know what it is, it's like a taxi service, but it's you know, whatever. The other day, I'm driving, and I pick up this guy, and I could tell you some stories of the people I have picked up, you guys. You want entertainment? Come ride Uber with me for a night. Holy cow. I picked up this guy. It was 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. He staggered to the car, and I thought at first, I was like, oh, dear, I better, like, arm myself. This is going to be crazy. He opens the door. Hey, man. Oh. He sits, like, flops himself into the car, and I was like, are you feeling okay, dude? Like, he's like, no, dude, I'm not going to puke in your car. Oh, I had a wild night. So he goes and tells me about his wild night in explicit detail, and it was just fascinating. I'm driving him, and I'm like, I feel like I need my mind purified. I feel like I need to, like, I feel like my car needs to go through the car wash after this conversation. Like, I need to wash this thing on the outside and inside. I'm driving him, and all of a sudden, I feel like God speak to me, all right? And God's saying, you need to insert me into the conversation here. He didn't say those exact words, but that was the gist I was getting. Okay, I need to insert you into the conversation with this guy who's, like, beyond stoned and, like, falling asleep in my car. So I'm like, so I can't honestly remember what I said, but I was driving, and he asked me what I did, and I'm like, oh, I'm a youth pastor full-time and all this, and I said something like, yeah, and, you know, I talk about Jesus and how, you know, Jesus, you know, relationship with Jesus makes you right before God, and I encourage people to accept him. Something goofy like that, okay? Talk about, like, loser status for sharing your faith. That was me. And he's like, dude, that's cool, man. Then he falls asleep. So we finally drive. I get to his house, and he's like, oh, dude, I live here. So... And I felt like, man, I've got to offer to pray for him. Like, that's what God's leading me to do. Like, come on, God, why? Why me? And so I said, hey, man, you know, before you go, could I just pray for you? And so I prayed for him. I can't remember what I prayed, to be honest with you, but it was probably something about bless him and help him to sober up, God, and Lord, help him to come to know you, reveal yourself to him. I don't know what I said, but I prayed for him. He's like, dude, thanks, man. Got out of his car, stumbled to his house, and I never saw him again. Was that an effective moment of evangelism? Was that an effective moment of sharing my faith? Was that successful? Yes. You know, some people might say yes. Like, if you were looking at it on paper, probably not. Like, did the guy even understand what I was saying? There's a high likelihood he didn't. But he caught my vibes. But it wasn't about my success or my failure. It was about my obedience and the opportunity. And when he sobered up, my prayer, honestly, is that he remembers, oh gosh, I got a ride one night when I was, like, drunk from a pastor, and like, wow, he prayed for me, and he said something about Jesus, and my life is falling apart right now, and I just, like, I need that. It's obedience and opportunity. It's not about success. Are you willing to let God use you in that way? Are you willing? Number two, observation about sharing your faith. Sharing our, this is a long one, okay? I'm not expecting you to memorize this, but whatever. Sharing your faith happens better, but not always, when relationship is the foundation, but it always happens best when love is the foundation. Let that sink in for a minute. Happens better, but not always, when relationship's the foundation, but it always happens when love is the foundation. What do I mean by this? I think most of us would agree that when you have relationship with somebody, it's easier to hear, it's easier to accept something that they say. So my illustration is this. Where's Angela Navy? Okay, Angela, you're in my notes right here. Lucky you. Okay. Angela, and I don't think she's here tonight, but Angela and Rachel Kagans are friends, right? Are you guys friends? Okay, they're like best friends. All right, Angela and Rachel are friends. Now, I had this, here's my illustration. Let's say Angela is walking down the street, okay? Angela, can you kind of walk down the street over there? Like, just walk, okay? She's walking down the street. She's walking, okay? And some guy approaches her, some random guy. Sam, would you be the random guy for me? Okay, Sam's the random guy, and he approaches her, and you don't actually have to get up. You just, well, you actually, you can get up. It's a good visual. Sam's this random guy. He approaches her, and he's got, guys, this is as cool as my illustration gets. He's introducing this brand new hair product, okay? And it's going to take away, like, all the tangles that you experience as girls and all the, like, frizz you experience and all the things that make your hair look bad, like, all those things that I don't know about. And he introduced it, and he's like, hey, I want you to buy this. I want you to buy this. This thing's the best. This is the best product on the market. You got to buy it. It's going to be great. Angela has no clue who this guy is, right? Now, she might walk away from that experience and say, oh, you know, wow, that sounds like a great product. I wonder if he's scamming me. I'm not sure. Might be cool. Thanks, Angela. You can sit down. What happens if Rachel comes up to her and says, hey, I've been using this new hair product, and it takes the frizz out of my hair, and it takes the tangles out, and it makes it look cool, and it's got the shine thing going, and there's no split ends, and all that other stuff that happens with hair. I don't know. I think that she's going to probably go out and buy some, like, right that moment. Right? Why? Because Rachel, she has trust with Rachel. She knows that what Rachel says is true. Like, she knows that Rachel actually cares about her. There's a relationship there. This is what I mean when I say that relationship is oftentimes a better foundation when we're sharing our faith. When you're sharing your faith with somebody you have a relationship with, they're certainly more willing to listen. They're certainly more willing to receive because they know that you love them. They know that you have a heart. They know that you care for them. But I want to tell you this. This is not always the case. This is not always the case. Sometimes we get told, hey, you know, sharing your faith is only really for those you have a relationship with. Very, very true. It works better that way. But sometimes there'll be times when God is asking you to be willing to share him or to insert Jesus into the conversation or the moment with somebody you don't have great relationship with or you're not close to or maybe somebody you don't even know. Scripture talks about those moments more often than any other type of moment in that regard. John 4. Jesus is at the well, and this woman comes, it's a Samaritan woman, walks up to the well, and he strikes up a conversation. There's no previous relationship at all. He strikes up this conversation, and he shows through this encounter that he actually cares about her, and in the process, he ends up revealing himself to her and showing her himself, and she receives him. Another example is in Acts 8, verses 26 through 40, there's a man named Philip. He's a disciple, and he's on the road. God has him walking in the desert, and he comes upon a man who they call the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading scripture, and he's trying to figure it out, and he has no idea what's happening, and Philip goes up to him and ends up explaining what the verses are talking about, and he ends up leading him to Christ and baptizing him right there. Philip had no prior relationship with this guy. Jesus had no prior relationship with the woman at the well. But the common theme here is this. They were both willing to be used, and there was something that was the bedrock foundation for their sharing, and it was this. It was seasoned with love. It was seasoned with love and care. The eunuch knew that he could trust Philip because he was receiving it in love. Samaritan woman knew that she could trust Jesus' words because they were being given in love. Every time you share your faith, it's got to be done in the context of love. How many of you know you can tell the difference when someone really cares about you or when they're just using you? Or when they really care about you or when they're just, you know, I don't know what the other thing would be. They don't really care. When it comes to sharing our faith, you guys, the worst thing we can do is make it about competition. Like, I'm going to win this argument. Man, I'm going to tell you about this and I'm just going to win this argument with you. It's the worst way we can come. The worst way we can come about it is at a sense of obligation, like, oh man, I'm obliged to have to do this. Like, God, I've got to share my faith. Like, it's got to have a foundation of love. And for this to happen, it takes one thing that's really important. It's having a heart and a love for those around you. And you guys, nothing gives you that other than God's grace and his spirit inside of you. That's what it takes. I've been praying since a year ago when I took that class. I've been praying, God, would you give me a heart and a love for the people around me? Would you give me a heart for them? I'll be honest, guys. I really struggle with having a heart for people. I like people, but I don't know if I always love people. I like them and love them more as I get to know them. But just when I think of, like, people in general, I don't know if I have, like, this love for them, I guess. But I'm praying. I'm like, God, would you change that in my life? Like, would you give me a heart of love for those around me? That my heart would break for them. Are you willing to be used? Are you willing to let your life be a life that represents love to other people? Third observation about sharing faith is this. Sharing your faith always requires prayer, and it always requires courage. There's never a time that you share your faith that it doesn't require some kind of courage. In Acts 4, 29 through 31, the disciples have been sharing their faith and they come under some persecution. And there's this prayer that they pray for boldness. And it says this, they say, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your words with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. You guys, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us with boldness and courage to be able to share our faith with those around us who need to hear it. Prayer paves the way, and boldness and courage plant the seed. It's prayer that paves the way, but it's boldness and courage that actually plant that seed. This is why we're always encouraging you to pray for those in your life who are unsaved, who need Christ. That's why we're always telling you, hey, who's that person on your mind? That's why part of the summer challenge is to intentionally be praying for somebody, because it's prayer that paves the way. It's prayer that breaks down those walls in the heart. And it's something that we can't do in the physical. It's something that can't happen in the natural. It's something that's all spiritual. And so as you're praying for that person, God's working on their heart. He's given them a hunger. He's given them an interest. He's breaking down walls. And then all of a sudden, all it takes is a moment of you having boldness. And all it takes is you having a moment of courage. And all of a sudden, boom, it penetrates their heart and it changes their life. There's a quote that often gets thrown around in Christian circles that I need to like debunk a little bit. The quote is this: preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Anybody ever heard that quote before? Preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. It's a famous quote by St. Francis of Assisi. Unfortunately, many Christians use this quote as though it was a Bible verse, which it is not. And what they do is they use this quote as an excuse that says, hey, if I just live a good life, if I just live a kind life, if I just live a moral life and I'm good to people around me and I'm nice and I'm kind, then somehow my example is going to lead others to Christ. They're going to see something different about me and they're going to be drawn in and somehow they're going to turn their eyes to Jesus, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to live my life. Here, there's a problem with that, because it's only a partial, it only goes part way. You see, a lot of people live good moral lives. A lot of people do nice things. A lot of people live good lives and are kind and nice. A lot of people do that. It takes more than simply living your life in a good way. That's part of it. And that definitely, like, your behavior's got to match up with what you preach and what you believe. It certainly has to. But there's also got to be words associated with that. Romans 10:14 says this: how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The premise of this verse and the context of this verse is talking about this. When it comes to people coming to know Christ, it's not going to happen unless there are words spoken, unless somebody has the boldness and the courage to actually share that and explain what it means to follow Christ. Unless somebody explains to them, this is what it means to be a Christian. It requires words. Sharing our faith, it's about obedience and opportunity. It's about love, and it's about courage and boldness. So my question to you tonight is this: are you willing? Are you willing to be used by God? Are you willing to, no matter what he asks you to do when it comes to this, maybe you're like riding with somebody like I was in an Uber car and God's like, hey, you need to insert Jesus into this conversation. Are you willing to be used to do that? Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna switch a little bit and we're gonna do something kind of practical for a couple minutes. Now, this might be a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. Uncomfortable is kind of fun sometimes, all right? Now, what I wanna do is this. I think that Dare to Share has come up with a fantastic way to learn the basics of Christianity. Let me say this. I just met with some, I've been doing these interviews with students for the past couple days because I'm working on this school project. And what has fascinated me is that students who say they're Christians or who've been Christians for a long time, when asked, what does it mean to be a Christian, cannot come up with an answer. Have a very hard time coming up with an answer. And even Christians who you'd think are really seasoned and, wow, they would know, they just don't. And I don't judge them because I'm totally in the same boat sometimes. But I want to help you tonight understand the basics of what you believe. And just a simple acrostic that's going to help you when it comes. So if somebody ever asks you, hey, what do you believe as a Christian? You'll be able to say, hey, here's what I believe. Here's the basis of my faith, all right? It's G-O-S-P-E-L. Can you all spell? G-O-S-P-E-L. That spells what? The Jospel. Yes. The gospel, yes. So it's going to come up one at a time on the screen. We're gonna read it together, all right? And then we're going to do a little exercise. It's going to be kind of fun. This is important. This isn't just something to joke about. Okay, it's fun. Yes, we're going to get loud. We're going to talk. It's going to be good. This is the bedrock of our faith. Like, this is the foundation. This is almost a creed. You know what a creed is? A creed is something that you speak and you say that says, I believe this. Like, I will die for this. I stand my ground on this. This is something that cannot be compromised in my life. This is the creed to our faith. Let's read this together. G is God created us for relationship with Him. God created us for relationship with Him. O, our sin separates us from God. God created us to be with Him, but our sin separates us from God. S, sin cannot be removed by good deeds. G is what? O is what? S is what? Good. P. Paying the price for sins, Jesus died and rose again. Good. G is what? Good. S is what? Come on now. Good. No. S is not that. S is what? Come on, Rachel. Yes. Sin cannot be removed by good deeds. Very good. I skipped a letter in there just to trick you. What is E? Everyone who trusts in Him has eternal life. Say it with me. Everyone who trusts in Him has eternal life. I want to pause real fast. We need to pause real quick right here. Pause and look at me. Now pause and look at the screen. Now close your eyes. Do you believe that? You don't have to answer out loud unless you want to, but everyone who trusts in Him has eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in your heart? Last one, L. Let's read it together. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. G-O-S-P-E-L. Come on.